you've had a good afternoon, the Lord. Be in prayer for those that are away. There's some away because of graduation and sickness and illnesses, and so pray for them that they will be back in their place as soon as the next opportunity presents itself. We'll be in Genesis chapter number 6 this evening. We'll continue our studies through the book of Genesis. It's good to have Brother Dennis Walter being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us. Traveled all the way from Alabama to just see our faces tonight. He's been a good source of help for parts for our presses and small ones alike. So we're glad to have him as a friend to the ministry of the church. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1 through 13 tonight. We're going to look at the condition of the earth before the flood. We're getting running up on close to the flood. So let's begin here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So right now we have, looking at this, we have two lines of generations. We have the line of Cain and the line of Seth as we begin to look at this. If you will, go back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 16, you'll begin again the lineage or the line of Cain. The Bible says there in Genesis 4:16, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahiliel, and Mahiliel begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jabel, and was the father of such as dwell in tents, and as such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jabel, and Jubal, and was the father of such that handled the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, and instructor of every artificer, and brass, and iron, and sister of Tubal-Cain was Naboth. And so here you had the line of Cain in Genesis 5 and verse number 6. If you'll notice there, Genesis 5 and verse 6, And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 107 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And so forth, you go on, and you have the lineage of Cain, you have the lineage of Seth, and when you get here to the beginning of this chapter, and you begin to notice it, it talks about that it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born unto them, that sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Especially when we read verse 4, there have been writers, there have been teachers, there have been those that would say that whenever it says the sons of God and the daughters of men, what happened was you had the human race meet and mate and have relations and produced, which was angels, and they met together, but there's no scripture for that. These are not angels. Just because some educated theologian says that this was probably angels, there has to be Bible for it. Well, Pastor, you give us Bible then. Okay, go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And look at verse number 30. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 30. And the Word of God says in Matthew 22, 30, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are as," who? "The angels of God in heaven." The angels of God in heaven, they're not going to marry. They're not given in marriage. And so you can't come up with something and say, well, back here, all of a sudden, you know, the sons of God, the sons of men, and these sons of men were angel-like beings. There's no mention of angels ever being judged in the flood, is there? No. No mention of angels being judged in the flood. So in my opinion, as I read this and I study it, these are not angels. What you have here is God's line, the line of godly people, line of people that serve God. You remember when Seth was born, what did they say? "And then began men to seek the Lord." She had a godly line of Seth. What happened with Cain's line? When we started reading there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16, what it says, "And Cain went out from where? The presence of the Lord." So you had this, the lineage of Cain, you had this. They begin to multiply. They begin to look around. The sons of men, the daughters of the sons of God, and they begin to intermingle. And what you had here was an unequally yoked person, kind of like what a lot of times we have, you know, in our day and age which we live in. If you would, flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And with what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So you go back here, and you see here in our readings in verses 1 through 4 there, "And it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives, and all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And so you had the mixture of the two different lineages, a godly mixture and an ungodly mixture of those of Seth and those of Cain. They begin to intermingle. Maybe they saw each other at the market. They begin to see each other at the, in the fields where they worked. And as they passed by, you know, as human nature goes, one caught the eye of the other. And as they caught the eye, the spark of romance began to take place. And then they begin to marry and intermarry with the ungodly lineage and the godly lineage. And then you'd have children. And it's always been my experience in this, that if you hang around godly people will lift you up to a higher plane. If you hang around with ungodly people, dear friend, you're not going to be able, as quick as you think or might as you will, pull them up, because there's this thing that we know as gravity. Gravity pulls. Well, sin is also a weight, and sin pulls down. So you got to be careful with your friendships. You got to be careful with your marriages, because those that are not wanting to live godly or spiritual, I'll tell you, dear friend, it is going to be very difficult for you. And I've heard it said like this: oh, I love him, and I'm going to change him. It's not happening. You'll get so tired in fighting that battle that you will spiritually slow down. And you will just come to a point. And what happens? When godlessness prevails, it rules. When godliness prevails, it rules. Look around us in our nation today. We were founded upon godly, righteous principles. And our nation was blessed. Blessed beyond measure. We were sending missionaries around the world, and people were getting saved, and churches were being planted. And yes, they still are today, but at a much slower rate. When I went to the mission field of Greece, it took me 2 years. I mean 2 years of beating the road to raise the support to go. Now the missionaries are looking at 4 to 5 years just to raise support they need to get to the place where God has called them to go. And you got to stay busy. I know down here I probably get a call, an email every day for a missionary. And listen, I be honest with you, I could go a whole year without preaching a sermon in this pulpit as pastor if I was just to keep taking the calls. I mean, it's just impossible. You can't help them. And so it's like that all across the nation. It's harder and harder and harder. More people are less involved in giving to that. And so what's taking place is, in those countries, you have an ungodliness that is around, and people are not getting saved, and righteousness is not prevailing. And so you have the unrighteous, and they come to places of renown. Look at our nation. It used to be we had statesmen, and most of them was member of some sort of church. They'd come and do their thing. They'd go back and they'd be Sunday school teachers. They'd be choir members. They don't even want to say, so help me God anymore up yonder. What has happened? The same thing has happened here. They intermingle. They quarrel. And listen, the ones that are righteous, they're scared to open their mouth. As Brother James, he's fallen. Now, session's over. We'll keep this here down the road. You know? I saw something so it was astounding. And I don't want to be political tonight. I'm not trying to be a political machine here. Because I think that the Democrats and the Republicans are the same, headed in the same direction. They're two birds, and one's flapping this way and one's flapping this way. And we're just like a goose, just spinning in circles. We've got, forget rhinos. They're there for themselves. So I don't want to be political, but I got to say this. How long have we been fighting this drug war? Drugs are still everywhere. And this same government that's been fighting this drug war wants to take your guns and say, well, we'll keep them out of the hands of the bad people. You can't keep crack and cocaine out of their hands. How are you going to keep a pistol? Now, that's the last bit of politicalism I'm going to go for. But I'm telling you, dear friend, this, what happened here, is happening today. We got too many of God's people marrying for looks. Let me give you an idea, young ladies. I know we're missing several folks here today. One day that hunk that you were looking at 15, that could run the 100-meter dash and get there in 9.27 seconds, one day he's going to be bald-headed, no teeth, wearing a size 39 waist, if he's honest. He ain't going to always be that hump. I have some good things that have happened to me this year. In a whole year. It's been good this year. I turned 50. I've been married 32 years today. And come September, I'll be the pastor here for 11 years. That's a whole lot of good things that's happened. I'm not knocking 50. Somebody told me, Pastor, welcome to the dark years. I'm not knocking. I'm not saying that 50's bad. There's a lot of folks that don't live this long, don't get to be 50. So God's blessed. My dad was one of them, age 44, died of an aneurysm. My brother, age 46, died from a car falling on top of him. So I've been blessed. God's given me a little bit. It'd be great to be in heaven right now. I promise you it'd be great if God would call me home. But I got a lot of work yet to do. I got a lot of stuff that I need to accomplish, spiritually speaking. And so I've got to be careful that I don't look into this here like they did and say, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, you begin to look at these giants. Wow. Well, ungodliness prevailed, and that's why you had such an ungodliness, men of renown in this set. Somebody's got to fill these offices. For some reason or another, we think government just came about. It didn't. They used to sit at the gate. When the Bible says they sit at the gate, what is it saying? They're sitting at the seats of the government. Those are government, they did rulings, and they were a part of the commissioners, maybe you'd say. I don't know what the term was, but they had government. And so somebody has to fill. And listen, if there's not godly people, guess who's going to fill them? People like Orozco. What? I guess that's how you say your name up there in New York. Ocasio.
Ocasio.
New York better get busy winning souls. That's all I can tell. We have folks that sit in our seats around here the same way. We better get busy. If righteousness doesn't prevail, ungodliness prevails, and then they seat in those seats of renown. And this is what you get. This is what happened. You can't just explain, those were just angels. What? Or fallen angels, I should say. No, there's no indication of such in here. No indication. You had lineages here. You had the godly lineage. You had the ungodly lineage. They saw God. And what's the shame of the matter is that, our godly lineages are overtaken by emotions. And they're overcome by the feel of the looks of someone. instead of the spirituality of someone. You know, just be careful, because this is where you end up. And so we're getting up to the flood. Remember, this is the condition of the earth before the flood. The amazing thing about this is God was very, very patient. Look over in 1 Peter, if you would, with the people. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse number 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Listen to what it says. And think about the patience of God waiting to bring judgment, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by the Lord. Think about the patience of God. What the Bible say, you know, the wickedness, when men of renown, those of the wicked heart, what does it say in verse number 5? And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is what God saw way back there in the before the flood. You understand why God gave us a canonized, kept, enclosed, and preserved Word of God to give us? Because our thought patterns are messed up. What does the Bible say? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing, piercing, down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why? Because from the very beginning, the thoughts. Listen, long before we go out and do, we think about it. We ponder. Long before we act in the mind, we begin to contemplate. We begin to weigh it out. And before long, and this is what happened. God saw the wickedness of the man, the great in the earth, and every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When I read this verse, I look back over there in Genesis, where we was at in Genesis chapter number 3, when Eve began to take that fruit and listen, she had passed that tree too often. She didn't think about it. She had spent too much time around that tree. To be honest with you, dear friend, I think she may have been handling serpents too long, because she wasn't surprised when the old snake come up there and suddenly stood beside her and began to talk. Didn't frighten her at all. Dear friend, my wife sees a lizard. She's not coming in the house, and I'm busy. I have to make up lizards. I beg again to think, Brother Ray, I better keep one in my pocket just so I can just show. I got it out, honey. A while ago, she was getting ready to leave, go up to the graduation, and she went out that back door. She said, she had her hands full of all kinds of stuff. She's watching. Will you get the door for me? And when I went to open that door, when that little bitty blue with a black line, I mean, the purplish looking thing, what was those called? A skink. I saw it go across there. Dear friend, I'm telling you, she had her hands full. I didn't even flinch. I just let her step right over. Because if she'd have saw that, that stuff would have been everywhere. How can Eve all of a sudden have a serpent talk to her and she's not startled? That would have scared me. You know what? The first thing I would have thought, because this is how I act. If I'm fixing to do something wrong and bad, especially when I was little, when I was fixing to do something bad, if I heard a noise, that would have been a serpent talking. I wouldn't have stood around anymore. I said, oh, God, this is God coming. You know, he's on the scene. She stood and had a conversation. It's not a long conversation. What happened? I believe she had just passed and pondered. And look at those roses, look at those tangerines, look over there at those banana trees, look over them blackberries and those cucumbers growing up over there. Wow, look at this one. Oh, look at over here, the plums, and they're all nice. And she'd come back by and she'd be pick her up a little bit, rutabagas over here and some celery over there. Then her eyes are caught and she's thinking again. That's how I'm looking at this situation. It wasn't like all of a sudden one day walk up there, there's a tree, here's a serpent, and then, hey, let me have this, No, it didn't happen like that. You loiter around the forbidden, dear friend, and you will partake. Why do you think we have these laws that says no loitering? The law already knows if you hang around just loitering before long, somebody in your group is going to say, hey, I bet we can go climb in that window there and see what's going on inside that building. Then before long, you're all in trouble. You loiter around the forbidden, the evilness, the heart, the intents of the heart. And God said, listen, I better get them a book. I better preserve them, a Bible, my words. I better close it. I better canonize it. So that when the thoughts, you know as well as I do, dear friend, you hear on a Sunday night, and you know there's been times this past week evil thoughts have passed through your mind. You're cream of the crop. Look, you're here. And evil thoughts, it's no different. We need the Word of God. God's so patient. He waited 120 years. This is the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. Yet his days shall be 120 years. No work, no labor, no work, no labor. Well, Pastor, he was saying it was going to rain. It had never rained before. We know that. Why would they be convicted? They don't know what rain is. They had never seen animals walk up two by two. And I'm telling you, if that would have happened, that would have been something strange. Now, Lord, they'd seen elephants. They'd seen herds of cattle. They'd seen, ants. And they'd seen all these things out in the wild, the creeping, the crawling things, the birds of the sea. That should have got their attention, right? Okay, they didn't know what rain was. Okay, Noah was an old fool. If God worked. And then all of a sudden, here comes animals, two by two. And then the clean ones came up. Boy, I got used to the two by two, but now there's seven of these things popping up here. Something's not happening. God was patient. How many of you, your patience ever wore thin? You do that one more time and I'm going to twist your ear to the back of your foot. You ever said that? You ever thought that? That'd be a long earlobe, wouldn't it? Or they'd be, what's that word, ambidextrous or something. They'd put their heel up there. That'd be pretty bad, right? Aren't you glad God's not that way? 120 years he dealt with man. The evil, the thoughts continually. God's waited a long time right now, hasn't he? Crucifixion was over 2,000 years ago. Evil men have waxed worse and worse. It seems as though today, everything that's godly is mocked at and scoffed at. Even in many times around in Christian circles. Many times in your own group, you get a little bit too close to God. You're a little religious right now. In a small kid. But God's been patient. Aren't you glad God didn't come back in 1822? Amen. I got saved in 1991. In 1990, I was living a pretty wicked life. You remember the book in... Maybe you don't remember, but there was a book written in 1988, why 88 Reasons Why God's Come Back in 88. I'm so glad God didn't come back in 88. Because in 91, I got saved. God's been patient. It's been a wicked world. Listen, I pray continually for our kids. They're going through some stuff that I can't imagine. Listen, I was talking to Brother Ray, Brother Chase, just the other day, I think one of the two I was talking to the other day. I remember, and I'm not old, really I'm not. I remember we didn't have no air conditioning. In my age. I mean, I remember that. I remember putting a window up and having, you know, screened a box fan in the window if you want a little bit of air to move. Remember, my grandma moved into a house that's kind of like, I don't know what it's called, shotgun house or something, had a hallway right down the middle of it. It had a big old attic fan. That was, man, they were uptown. Mm-hmm. You turn that attic fan on, the wind. I had it pretty good. I mean, there was evil. There was, you know, crime, even back then. My own uncle stole my truck. My first truck I ever bought, my uncle stole it. Did. That's how to do it over in Mississippi, you know. My uncle stole my truck. Yeah. We had, but nothing like today. These kids, I don't like, they need us, church. I've never seen the weakness in the back. You can't sit down and watch, you know, a decent little sitcom without some filth coming on, you know, promoting, you know, ungodliness and you know, fornication abounding. Homosexuality on every corner. Abortion. Daily. Thousands and thousands put to death. It's a wicked world, dear friend. Don't you like it when God says, but Noah. But Noah. Now James, God looking over Dr. Phillips, he sees that the administration sees that they won't allow godliness, and what he says, but James. Brother Victor, FedEx, but Victor. Brother Jason, you work at a Christian school. You know, even in Christian school, there's some ungodly teachers, aren't there? Wouldn't it be great if he said, but yes. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I don't know how he did it. Verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continued. And the Bible says in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But no, stay the hand of God. Two by two, listen, you got your little teacup chihuahua poodle because of Noah. Your little purse left dog that you carry up in the Walmart with you over by the meat section, you got that dog because of Noah. Amen. Your spouse you got right beside you? Because of Noah. Now, some of you mad at Noah right now. You're going home and write a letter to Noah. You go get your memo out and send a text to Noah. It's your fault, Noah, that I've got him. God's plan was to destroy everything, dear friend. Up to that verse, that's what I just read. Maybe y'all read something different.
Let's read it again. And it repented the Lord, verse 6, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, and creeping things, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Period. There's a period there. But no. But no. Found grace. When everything was wicked. Listen, you think you're alone right now, dear friend, you should think back to Noah. Building your ark. There's your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughter-in-law. You think about it for a minute, dear friend. The sons was okay. Daughter-in-laws had a mama and a father. They didn't get up on that boat. Didn't get in the ark. You think about it. Listen, you know how you have treated your in-laws. More like outlaws sometimes. You know the thoughts you've had about your in-laws. Can you imagine your little girl, that little princess, you gave her away, and you're looking over there at your cow and your chicken and your goat that you got as a dowry? So I think I'm going to exchange. I'm getting my daughter. That's a crazy wacko family over there. They're building an ark. I'm talking about an ark. Can you imagine the mama-in-law there? We're going to have dinner. Bring JPEG when you come. Can you imagine the thoughts and the whispering in her ear at the table? Hey, listen, you can leave that guy. As a matter of fact, your daddy and brothers can take him out back and kill him right now. Can you imagine the peer pressure? Lord have mercy, they put all kind of peer pressure on me Friday night. Eat it, Pastor, eat it. You weren't here. That was pressure. That wasn't part of it. He just said, I'm going to call and say, I'm going to act like I'm going to give it to you. And then everybody started chanting, eat it. Oh. Oh, Lord. You'd think there wasn't no peer pressure at Thanksgiving meal around Japheth's in-law's house. Shem's in-law's house. Well, y'all better build an ark. Y'all fix to get on there. You're crazy. What you mean, rain? Come back. We're going to worship Baal tonight. You talk about loving marriage. There's a message in that just all by itself. I might have to make up half of it, but I can do that. They got on the ark. And I have in-laws for years. I married my wife 32 years, and for years I've been called until my father-in-law passed away. I was called Kim's husband. Like I didn't have a name. The crazy thing was, my name was same as his. Lane, his name was Lane. Kim's husband. Let me introduce you to Kim's husband, the father of my grandchildren. I can imagine. And I wasn't building an ark. Oh, and I told him we was fixing to head over to Greece. Lord, then we got back, and then I told him we was coming down here to Orlando. You know what he told me? He called my wife that night, whenever we were supposed to leave, and said, listen, your husband's crazy. He's taking you down. There ain't nothing hurricanes in Orlando. You remember, there was three of them a couple years before I came. Wasn't it, Brother Dave? Charlie, what was the other two? Yeah. My God has a sense of humor. He let my father-in-law know that I was in his will, not my father-in-law's will, in God's will. That night, when we were packed up, got the U-Haul ready, God sent a hurricane all the way up there to Leesville, Louisiana. Sure did. I had to go 25 miles north, up on the, to hit a back highway, and go up further, go through on I-20, almost all the way across until I got to Alabama and got on 98. Yeah, that's my God. It was wicked. Verse 6 and 7, God said, I was going to destroy it. But Noah found grace. How did he find grace? Listen, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. It was a just man and a perfect. And he was perfect in his generations. And Noah walk with God. That's how he found grace. Verse 11, the Bible says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This was conditions. In the middle of all this here wicked conditions, you had the grace of God that was extended to a man and his family. A man that was not without sin. He was not without sin. He was the sin. He got off the ark and built him an altar, grew some grapevines, and put a corn still up. Next thing you know, he lay down drunk in the midst of worship. It's not perfect in the sense that we know. As sinless, he was just one that said, I'm going to walk with God. You're going to have to walk with God. What a pronouncement. I think about that. I look at that. The wickedness. God's fixing to destroy. He's repenting. What it means, God, he created man for fellowship. And because it got so wicked, God said, I'm fixing to destroy man, beast, creature, everything is going to be done. Oh, what a passage that we have. It's kind of like, last week we looked in number 5, Genesis chapter 5, the death chapter. Everybody live, everybody died. Everybody live, everybody died. Well, it's kind of got a little bit sad right there. Living, dying, living, dying, living, dying. And then all of a sudden God snatched up Enoch. So, hey, in the middle of all this trouble, there's life. Life in Christ. That is just an amazing passage of Scripture. All right. What can we do? Jim, come on. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's make about the goodness of God. Perhaps you're going through a desperate time in your life. Friends and family, those all around you. Seeming to be wicked, you walk with God. You please God. You find grace in the eyes of God. And maybe you'll be the one that stays God's judgment for a little while. We know Abraham did it. We're going to get over to Abraham after a while. It's all tomorrow. He interceded and interceded and interceded down to 10. And God would have stayed the hand. And he would have stayed the hand of judgment. But couldn't find 10. That's another story, couldn't find 10, right? Another place, 8.